Why Indonesia looks like hell on earth.
Bruce Lee's spirit fights on in Hong Kong.
Bali has an important message for unmarried couples looking to boink.
And the ugly truth about Thailand's pretties. Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast, our look at the latest and greatest reporting from our 8 newsrooms in Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Todd Vries, and I'm the managing editor of Coconuts Bangkok.
And I'm associate editor Tara Kamaltanavith.
Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Tara, how are you?
I'm good, but I definitely feel for our other cities that is experiencing the crazy smog from Indonesia's forest fire.
Oh, man, tell me about it. I mean, this is something that we report on every year.
Yeah.
Every year there's like this black shroud that spills over. You can see it from space.
Mm.
It just covers the whole like region.
Right.
Because they're just burning everything. And this is like the year of the Amazon burning out of control.
Yes.
And
yes.
Sumatra, the forests, Indonesia,
yeah.
Burning out of control.
Yeah. And I read somewhere online that I think it's quite interesting that people were saying that we should change the language and say these forests are being burnt instead of that it's burning, because that's
sure.
what happens. Like, especially sure. in the Amazon, it's not like fire is not in the ecology of the forest.
Oh, no. The passive voice, as writers, we know this, right? The mm-hmm. passive voice is another great dodge. It's like, mm-hmm. it's the old mistakes were made.
Right.
We're not going to talk about who made mistakes or...
And especially in Indonesia right now, that's burning in Sumatra and Borneo, that's definitely caused by like burning, people burning the forest.
Sure. And somehow, and this happens every year, and everyone's like, hey, guys, can you knock it off? And
right.
they, oh, yeah, sorry, we're going
right.
to figure this out. And then nothing's done, and it's worse the mm-hmm. next year.
Yeah, and it's affected neighboring countries, too, like Thailand South. I was just on Twitter earlier today, and people were, like, posting pictures of the really smoggy roads. People are like, oh, I can't, like, I'm scared to drive
Singapore,
because it's so smoggy.
Indians, Malaysians,
yeah.
They're all choking on this stuff. And it's
right.
a real health hazard.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're going to talk about later, you've seen those insane, crazy scenes
yes.
of, you know, it looks like near the end of the video game when you actually are you're on the hell level and the skies are red, it looks crazy down
right.
there.
Right. I totally thought it was like a filter or like a night vision lens at first. And then I was like, oh, my God.
Well, look, let's get into that. Let's hit some news. And then we're going to circle back and we're going to talk about some true crime.
Happening in Bangkok.
Yeah.
So true crime nerds, stay tuned. Toxic orange and blood red skies have cloaked part of Indonesia this week. In scenes resembling a horror film hellscape, the sky has turned a sinister crimson as forest fires burn out of control in the islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Those are the fires that, in addition to turning Indonesian day into bloodshot night, are blanketing neighboring countries with choking haze. One clip even compared the skies to Mars, noting that it's not a place for humans to live. Officials warn that smoke made of very, very tiny dust particles, which can penetrate deep into the lungs, could cause severe breathing problems and even a stroke or premature death. And it's not just Indonesia that's choking on smoke. Thick smoke invading neighboring nations such as Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand has become an unwanted annual ritual this time of year. So yeah, forget about that promising Star Trek future where technology improves lives and strap on that leather and spikes for the Mad Max post-apocalypse. We plan to delve into the situation further in a future episode, so please contact us via Facebook or tweet at us with any questions you may have about this seemingly unsolvable problem.
A newspaper reporter and pro-democracy lawmaker were beaten by groups of men in two separate incidents in Hong Kong this week as a shadow intimidation campaign simmers in the rest of city-state. The authorities have been unable to draw down the protests that have raged for almost 4 months and whose tactics have changed since the so-called umbrella movement of 5 years ago. Today's protest philosophy is derived from an unlikely source.
I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now, water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Coconuts Hong Kong associate editor Vicky Wong on what it means to be water.
So basically, during the umbrella movement, the approach that protesters used was to occupy streets for as long as they could. In the recent round of protests, however, protesters have been using a different strategy inspired by Bruce Lee's philosophy called Be Water, which is basically, you know, be formless, be shapeless. And in the context of these protests, it basically encourages people to not stay in one place for too long, to keep moving, to just move from one place to the other and try and stretch police resources thin. So spiritually, it feels like people are remembering Bruce Lee at the protest site, even though he doesn't have a physical space where, or a museum where people can pay their respects to him.
The US-born Kung Fu legend's Hong Kong fans had hoped the mansion he bought there after making it big in Hollywood would be turned into such a place. It was the last place Lee lived until his untimely death at 32 in 1973. The president of the Bruce Lee fan club said that they had lobbied the authorities and the home's owners since 2008 to have it converted into a heritage center and museum for Lee. Thus, it was a sad day Tuesday for many when his Kowloon Tong mansion was demolished to make way for a Chinese learning center.
People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
To many, Greta Thunberg's Monday speech at the United Nations was moving and powerful, at least for those who don't take talking points from Rupert Murdoch. Like one Singaporean blogger who broadcast to her 600,000 followers that it was, quote, so damn cringe. 35-year-old Xia Shui, basically Singapore's answer to Heidi Montag, drew heavy fire for saying in an Instagram post that she felt secondhand embarrassment for Thunberg. She also asked if the teen activist crying would stop climate change. When her trolling received, surprise, surprise, a slew of criticism, the blogger doubled down, saying that nothing could change her mind. In a post, she said,
Wait. I've seen this. Can you read it just like she does?
Gladly.
Okay.
You go and preaching to anyone who will listen, and I'm going to continue thinking you kids are overly dramatic and brainwashed.
Nailed it.
She went on to write a wall of text that honestly isn't worth quoting, except for noting that it's filled with clues like climate alarmists and dishonest people with an agenda that the proud Trump supporter gets her vocab from Fox and Friends.
I know I do.
It must be really tough seeing someone sincere and young motivate millions around the world to take action when the best you can do is seek attention by saying awful things. But, I mean, no one's censoring you, girl. You're just basic.
The heroin trafficker ex-con in Thailand's cabinet and other scandal-tainted figures have breathed easy these past 2 weeks. That's because all the available media oxygen has been burned up by the tragic death of a 25-year-old model under sordid circumstances. In the latest development to 2019's tabloid page-turner, police arrested Ratchadet Wongtabut just before dawn Wednesday and charged him with sexual assault.
Hashtag Namun.
He wasn't charged with the death of 25-year-old Titima Norapanpipat, who the authorities said died of alcohol poisoning, her family and friends insist she wasn't a drinker, but rather for sexually assaulting her. According to the timeline laid out by police and a smartwatch heartbeat monitor, Titima died at roughly the same time Ratchadet put her into his car and drove her back to his condominium. There, CCTV footage shows he dragged her up an elevator and down a hall into his room, where he kept her inside for about 6 hours. At some point, he boasted on Facebook of his sexual conquest while, in a chat group, joked about her declining condition. He carried her back downstairs and left her on a lobby sofa because her friends had tracked her down, so he was scared.
Yes. idea. He admits it. He was like, I'm scared for my safety. That's why I left her
in the lobby. That's left a lot of people asking when he assaulted her. I mean, are we talking about a case of necrophilia here? Or was she raped back at the party she was hired to provide entertainment at? And if that's the case, why haven't the people who threw the party, the subjects of swirling innuendo online, been arrested?
And it's interesting because I was watching a press conference and a lot of the media was asking the police this. And they just kind of, they were like, when was she sexually assaulted? And the police just kind of brushed aside.
Yeah, well, Metro Police Commander Sutipong Wongpin on Wednesday deflected questions about when the assault occurred. But he did insist that the investigation was not over and more arrests may be forthcoming if anyone else was found to have played a role in her death.
Dear tourists visiting Bali, despite the fact that Indonesia almost passed a law criminalizing sex outside of marriage, don't worry, you can still bash in the glory of the bone zone without getting arrested. This week, social media has been talking a lot about this so-called Bali sex ban. Here's the city's associate editor, Shenny, with a breakdown of what the law actually is.
So RKUHP is what Indonesia is calling a draft legislation to overhaul the country's existing criminal code, which was passed in the early 1900s when Indonesia was still a Dutch colony. Critics have said that this bill would rob many Indonesians of their civil and democratic liberties by making it a crime to insult the president, have premarital sex, and commit adultery. But that's just several of many other problematic articles contained in the legislation. This is why students, activists, and ordinary citizens have taken to the streets in cities across the country to protest what they see as a threat to human rights.
As for the law pertaining to premarital sex, Shenny explains that only spouses, parents, or children of those involved in the sex can report it to the police.
I hope we don't mean children involved in the sex.
No. Okay. But then again...
Like sort of peripherally involved.
Right. Okay. But if, you know, they're children of those that are men married.
It sounds very complicated.
Yeah.
Continue.
But we may not have to worry about the law for a while because the passage has been delayed indefinitely, largely due to the amount of pushback it received. Right now, it would take at least 2 years for the law to come into effect.
Last week, I think they banned or they made it so you can't do certain type of traditional dancing anymore. Now, they're making some laws about sex. Well, what are they going to do next? Like ban, like you can't look at sunsets on Bali anymore? So those are some of the top stories that have been going on around in our coconut cities. And in fact, you can find updates and more about them at coconuts.co and through the links that lead to Coconuts, Bangkok, Jakarta, KL, Manila,
Singapore,
Yangon.
I think that's it.
Bali. But I want to circle back to... This has been, I think, the top story in all of our cities, and certainly here in Bangkok. This really has been the thing. Like every few years, this happens. There's a tabloid story that's the thing that just everyone is talking about and obsessed with.
Yeah.
And this year, it's the death of the promotional model, which is our best English translation of
Prithi,
right?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of, you know, Thai is loaded with English loan words from computer to helicopter.
Yeah. And I'm sure this word started out because like they were very attractive models that just stand around. They stand around and they basically promote or present a product. And we'll get into all of that.
I've never seen a pretty that isn't pretty.
Really? I have.
Well, okay. Now that you mention it.
I've seen like lower grade pretties for sure.
Well, and there's some surgical choices that were made sometimes that are unfortunate. Mm. So in the course of all this reporting on Titima Norapanpipat, who I think last Tuesday morning was found dead. I think most people know the story by now.
Right. She was found dead in a Bangkok condo, and she was carried there by a man who lived in the condo. She spent 6 hours with her in his room doing God knows what.
Yeah. Well, and again, we alluded to that earlier.
Oh, yeah. WTF,
like what?
What you doing?
Something like people are now really interested in what that world looks like and how could it lead to this young woman being in what clearly was some kind of dangerous situation.
Yeah.
And it's kind of pulled the curtain back a little bit on the secret inside world the ugly reality of the pretty industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about this, and you got a hold the other day.
I did.
A former, recovering pretty.
I mean, she's like very proud of her pretty past. And it was actually pretty hard getting a pretty to talk, but this girl is proud of her vocation.
Sure, who's going to go on the record talking hard truths about the industry, you know, biting the hand that feeds them?
Yeah, and she's hot. So take a look at our story if you want to see accompanying pictures. But this pretty, her name is, her nickname is Mai Min, and her real name is Nalapon Fai Bong Sa. And she was a pretty for 6 to 7 years. Like, that's a very long time.
Yeah, and yesterday we published a story based on her interview and the research that we had done. And, you know, what I found interesting, she sort of put into context for you why it is that some of these women, mostly younger women, are kind of being pushed to taking riskier jobs.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about that?
So I think we should explain like the original meaning of pretty. So pretties are promotional models that are utilized to present or promote some kind of goods or services. So you'll see pretty at like, you know, an opening for a new store, a motor show, or
these
like,
are the women when I'm walking through the mall or through the market who just are rapid fire, like,
right,
blah, 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 like fast in, I mean, it's kind of intense, usually on a little PA loudly.
Mm-hmm. And they're usually wear, you know, sexy clothing. But so what Mai Min explained to me is that as the online retail market has boomed, there is less demand for pretties because like a lot of these retail space have moved online.
Right.
So there's influencers now too. So there's less demand for physical pretties to
promote
your product.
There's just fewer stuff being sold in markets and in the physical space.
Right. So the pretty industry has kind of evolved into a darker realm where
Fewer jobs.
Yes.
Fewer mainstream kind of what were acceptable. And this is a career that enabled young, attractive women who might invest in a little surgery to enhance their pay grade.
Right, absolutely. And Mai Min herself says she supported herself for a very long time being a pretty, and it actually like became the foundation for her to start her beauty business.
Well, yeah, to be a livable wage. And this is, I mean, maybe some people are assuming all these women are prostitutes, but that's not true at all.
That is not true. Right. I mean, admittedly, as I mentioned, because the industry is changing, there are different kinds of jobs that have emerged in that include the pretty entertaining their customers. But I mean, Mai Min is so, first of all, she's such a pleasure to talk to. She's so funny. She's gorgeous, but she doesn't like, you know, act pretty. Like she's like very bare.
She surprised you.
She surprised
me. Yeah, you told me when you got her phone, you thought she was very direct. She was very candid and you were impressed by her.
Yeah, she became a pretty in her junior year of university because she wanted to make a little bit of money. And she personally has never taken entertaining jobs because that's her personal way to keep herself safe. But she says she has the utmost respect and for people who do it because it does require, I mean, if you think about it.
Hang on now. I think we've got to walk this back a little bit. We've got to, in the course of this reporting, we found this really fascinating stuff about sort of how this industry operates.
Right. Because one of the things that people kept saying online was that, Belle or Lalabelle, which is Titi Ma's nickname, took an N job. So people were like, what is N?
N job,
what is this?
Yeah, and as we found out, so basically, as everything happens in Thailand, from the top government to business, there's a line group or line groups.
Yes.
Right? There's chat message, and pretties hang out in there where jobs are posted, jobs big and small, a lot of small jobs, that have, you know, it'll tell them, it'll specify what tone their skin color should be.
Yeah.
It'll say how tall they should be.
Yeah.
Should they be curvy or skinny or what they should wear? All these things.
Right. In Lalabelle's case, they were even like, we're looking for a girl who really likes to drink and can handle their liquor. You know, they like specify very, very specific things.
Yeah, they're
like
right.
That.
There was a message that came out that was purported to be the job post that she responded to. And that job post had the word N only in it, right?
Yes.
So we looked into this and we got sort of a breakdown of, I think we call it in the story, the taxonomy of pretties.
Yes.
Of what these different jobs are. So here let's do this. I'm going to name one. I want you to tell us what this job is.
Okay. I'm not looking at my notes, guys.
This is a quiz to see if you remember anything from yesterday. Okay. Tell me about... So in these job ads, they use these different terms, and we've got five or six that are commonly used. So tell me about a pretty MC. What does a pretty MC do?
Yes. So pretty MC basically is basically... So pretty MCs are very similar to booth babes. They promote goods or services, but they also have a microphone with them, and they speak. You know, they use their language to attract people, to present the product, or to promote the product. So they can be seen at, like, malls or at new product unveilings or red carpets, like, talking, visibly talking. There might be two or three of them. There might be one, but it involves talking.
You know, I used to go every year to the Electronic Entertainment Expo in L.A., E3.
Did they have
pretties? Video game booth babes?
Oh, so pretties are like American too. Like they have pretties in America.
Oh, booth babes. I mean, I think it's kind of a global thing. I think we called them booth babes.
Yeah. They're also kind of booth babes are a form of pretties.
Okay,
too.
Next, tell me what is an N? What's an N job or an N girl?
An N in this case stands for entertainment, and their job is to entertain their customers. This may be the form of, you know, pouring them drinks, talking to them at a bar, serving them drinks, just drinking with them, making them feel...
Kind of like Japanese hostess.
Exactly, yeah. Less lonely. But this is interesting to me. It also entails pretties that, like, go on one-on-one dates with a man to, like, pretties who are good-looking to, like, make them
some
feel...
escort, yeah.
Right, like an escort, or go to a movie with them, or take them, or hang out with them. But then, at the end of the night, this is important, they part ways, they go home separately.
Yeah, they get these jobs knowing that there's not... That's it.
What, quote, 100%
safe. 100%
safe.
Well, then the next level up would be the N bikini. What's an N bikini?
Men bikini is... pretty self-explanatory, very much like entertainment, but you got to be in your bikinis. Most of the time, it's around water, so you're like, you know, you should go into your water, splash around a bit, be in your bikini.
Well, this is Bangkok. We love our pool parties.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. Oh, I mean, sometimes they have bikinis in, like, modern shows, I guess, so that counts too.
But basically, it means you're going to wear a bikini, and I assume this pays a little bit more than straight-up N-work?
Yeah, it usually pays, like, 500 or 1,000 more than N-work.
Okay, now this next one I found very interesting. This is the N up. Tell us what is up about the N up.
Okay. Up in this case, in Thai, up ya means going out and taking up, like taking drugs that gets you high, like ecstasy, K. I don't know.
Meth, coke,
sure. Party drugs. Yeah. Whatever that gets you up.
So, up being English loan word, yeah being Thai
up,
for
yeah,
drug.
Yeah. It quite literally means take drugs, but it implies drugs that get you up. So these pretties take gigs that will have illegal drugs present and are expected to be cool with it, partake in it, and just have fun with drugs.
The party pretties.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've also kind of heard that some of these job posts very much specify what kind of, I mean, if there is anything beyond conversation, to what level a woman should expect.
Mm-hmm.
And so this next one, tell us, what is an N-rang?
N-rang. So rang in Thai is a word used a lot. It usually means hardcore.
Kind of strong, kind
yeah,
of hard.
Aggressive, yeah, aggressive, hardcore, intense. In this case, I'd say hardcore is most accurate. Mm. And it stands for gigs that will guarantee excessive touching from the customer. So groping, you know, some second base action, but nothing further than that. They will not go to bed with you. They will not have any intercourse with you.
There's no intercourse.
Right.
But it could go as far as, I mean, from
what is it? From who, Todd? from a friend?
I've heard from a friend. No, Boom was telling me, like, she's like, oh, like it'll specify, like, he may put his hand on your underwear.
Really?
In the back or the front.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's pretty specific.
Or in your bikini, yeah.
And it's a little, they get paid a little bit more than the average ends, but not too much.
I'd hope so. Well, and that leads us to kind of the inevitable ultimate conclusion of this, which is the ever so euphemistically labeled NVIP. Tell us about what's the NVIP about?
It is the last stage, and I think that's the last possible thing that can happen, is these parties start the night entertaining their customers, and they end the night in bed with the customers.
Right.
So it's the full service package. And this could actually range up from, you know, 7,000 to, if you are high profile, you're a celebrity of any kind, it can go up to like 100,000.
Well, and that was an interesting thing too. Like, if you have had any camera time, like you've appeared mm-hmm, in something, mm-hmm. commercial, video, anything that you've been in front of a camera, like, boom, your price is going up. And I assume that this is the highest paid tier.
Yes,
what was the maximum?
Up to 100,000.
100,000.
I would
That's
think there's more.
$3,000 something US.
Yeah. And like I wouldn't think this was so common, except for like one of my best friend's mom worked in the entertainment industry. She's a very renowned post-production for commercials.
Okay.
She does like top commercials, and she went to like the Thai Oscars one day and she won an award.
And did she have to wear a bikini?
She did not. But what was crazy is that, and she's a girl, so I can only imagine how much worse it is for the other way around. After the part, like at the party, someone approached her and like gave her this book, allegedly, you know, this is from her.
So you hear. So the story goes.
So yes. The story goes, she received this book, which was a folder of Thailand's top celebrities. And the person who handed her the folder was like, pick one.
The boys?
Yeah.
It's like a boy menu?
Yeah, boy celebrities.
Wow.
I know. And she was
Did she take any photos?
I hope so, but I don't think so. Because she said no.
Ask her. We got to get that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so of all of those, the N bikini, the N up, the N ring, what is the understanding? What kind of pretty was Lunabelle?
Well, Lunabelle was just an entertainment pretty, and
her family has said, I mean, they've made, I mean, of course, you, not surprisingly, families, what do I want to say?
Want to see the best in their daughter. But her friends, her pretty friends, her pillow pretty friends have come out and been like, you know, like, I'm really close to Lunabelle. I've never seen her do drugs.
That's it, right? I mean, to a T, all the people who knew her have said that that's not the kind of person she was.
Right.
She had a daughter. She had a young daughter she was providing for.
Yeah, and this was an interesting, because my mint obviously knows about Lunabelle, and she said, you know, she's really sad that all this negativity is now surrounding the pretty industry, because she doesn't think it's an accurate reflection of the vocation at all.
Well, that may be. As a journalist, I always say, you know, the reason we write about the planes that crash rather than land safely is because if there's a problem, then that's the only way that we get to solving it, is to call attention to it.
And it only takes one for it to be, like, you know, if there's a problem, there's a problem.
And if Lunabelle's had this experience, and if there is any chance she was lured, I mean, look, the worst suspicions of this is that she was lured to a place by people who full well intended to harm her, take advantage of her, and do bad things to her.
Yeah.
I doubt she was the only one.
Right. And it's heartbreaking because for my mint, which is the pretty I interviewed, she said Lunabelle has a kid. So she's probably pretty pressed for money. She needs to support a family, a kid. So she took the job because she needed the money.
Yeah, and in that this job post, which has been floated, and again, purportedly, we don't have any confirmation, but purported to be from, I mean, it's clearly from a pretty job chat group, and it's from that day, and it is in Bang Bua Tong. It's the same location as the event that Lunabelle went to that day, for which I believe she's paid about 3,000 baht.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly says in big letters, N only.
All caps.
N only, and specifically 100% safe.
That was in all caps.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to put that in all caps, not thinking about it now, I would second guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that anyone should handle that with a fair amount of skepticism, because.
Yeah. I mean, my min wanted to leave a message for people who are working as pretties. Just take care of yourself. Use your best judgment. You know, it can be dangerous if you put yourself like up. Yeah, you know, like okay, if you do drugs, you get to do drugs, but you could also be drugged. You know, you are getting paid to be drugged. So just take care of yourself.
Sure. And I imagine, I mean, this isn't just in Thailand, but throughout the region, look, prostitution exists everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But as nations move into becoming middle-income nations and maybe get caught in the middle-income trap, And women increasingly have economic mobility and have access to careers, education, money, and the ability to have more options in how they do their, you know, able to support themselves, support their families, and to some extent are empowered. Mm-hmm. It creates new opportunities like this, but at the same time, there's still poor protections in place.
Yes.
And poor legal enforcement, cultural
stigma.
And cultural importance even placed upon these things. I mean, suddenly you have, as you have women more out there, the rest of society may not catch up in protecting a higher profile role that they have. So,
And in this reporting of Lalabelle, I hear a lot of media, local media, being like, "Oh, you know, is being a pretty worth the risk? It's such a risky job." And people like blaming her murder on her vocation, which. I just think we should have, it's two separate conversations. You know, her murder has nothing to do with her vocation.
Sure.
No one should be murdered or sexually abused.
Yeah, but again, it falls back into the same basket of blame the victim.
Right.
Not necessarily if it's a dude, but if it's a woman, then what possible ways could it have been her fault? That's
right.
A lot of the default thinking.
And that's such a huge thing in a lot of places in our coconut cities, Bali, Bangkok, you know, all over Philippines. So Rachidet is going to be, so police say that Rachidet is going to be locked up today. He's going to be transported to prison and everything's going to start today, but he's going to be imprisoned today. So we'll keep following the case in Thailand and keep updating you if more arrests happen.
They say the investigation isn't over, you know, and a lot of people were unhappy that he wasn't arrested sooner.
Mm.
And when stuff like that happens, you wonder, well, is it just Thai police being Thai police? Or is it Thai police actually doing their due diligence and making sure they have a good case?
Right.
Which is fine if that's true. And now we're going to find out if they're going to pursue this further and hold more people accountable.
Yeah. So stay tuned.
All right, folks. Well, that's all the time we have this week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Coconuts Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts, Google.
Wooshka.
I think it's pretty much everywhere now.
Yeah, just search us up.
And you know, it really helps spread the word if you write a three word review. Two-word review. I'm trying to think what the... love it. That's the shortest review I can think of.
Love.
Or just rad, one word.
Yeah.
Some kind of review.
Hit up with your thoughts.
Helps more people to hear the podcast. Helps us, and we appreciate that. Stay tuned to coconuts.co for the updates on these stories and everything else new and fun going on. And we will see you next week.
From Coconuts, Bangkok, my name's Tara Kamold Navith.
And I'm Todd Reese.
Special thanks this week to our audio engineer, Indigo Manthagon, at Noise Studio, where you can record your podcasts, interviews, voiceovers, or even get your soundtracks produced.
The Coconuts Podcast is written and produced by Todd Reese and Tara Kamal Vatanavith. Our executive producers are Byron Perry and Chad Williams.
Thank you for tuning in, and see you next week.